One of my favorite people, United States Senator Chris Murphy with us. Chris, thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. Let me start by asking you the state of the Russia election meddling investigation. I read something in the paper today that said the feds, meaning Mr. Mueller, are really leaning on Manafort to come on over because it looks like he may have some things that he may want to negotiate with them.
I don't know anything that you don't know, but I suspect that somebody inside Trump's campaign inner circle knows something. I just don't believe that we have the whole story. I think the news about Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with the Russians is the most important revelation in this long sordid story, given the fact that the Trump campaign and the Trump family were lying to us for a very long time about their connection to the Russian government. We now know that they had at least one meeting. I suspect there were many more meetings or conversations. And it's likely that Paul Manafort or Michael Flynn or Jared Kushner know about that. Normally, how these kind of investigations break open is that somebody turns. Somebody who is exposed to personal criminal liability decides to get a lighter sentence by telling the whole story. And, you know, if the news reports are to be believed, that is the stage that the investigation is at today. It doesn't mean that it won't take a while for that full story to come out, because once somebody tells it, you still have to confirm it. But I think that we haven't heard nearly the full story, and I think it's more likely than not that it will eventually come out.
It's interesting, because my favorite Trump progeny story was not the meeting, although that was important, but the fact that Eric Trump said, "We get all the money we need for our various projects from the Russians." Now, he took it back.
Yeah, he's been saying that openly for a long time. I mean, the Trump kids have been bragging, for years about the fact that the Russians have been standing up their operation. And, you know, of course, that stands to reason, because anybody that spends any time in New York knows that the Trump family has been largely unbankable in New York City for a very long time, meaning no conventional bank will lend them money because of their long history of bankruptcies and walking away from debts. So the Russians clearly put a lot of money into the Trump empire. The family has bragged about that. That is probably why they don't want to disclose Donald Trump's tax returns. And it might explain ultimately why they got wrapped up in the Russian government's attempts to manipulate the election.
So if I were running the campaign for the House of Representatives in 2018, I'd certainly say, considering how low Trump's polling is right now, I would say, vote to impeach Trump, elect a Democrat. What about that?
I did four town halls during my walk across Connecticut last week, and I will just say, without editorial, that when I got questions about impeachment, it got the loudest applause. So there clearly is a constituency out there that wants to see impeachment move forward. They were not happy with my answer, which was that we need to let the Mueller investigation lead to a set of facts that could ultimately, potentially, be the subject of an impeachment conversation. But we're not there yet. Listen, I don't think that we should focus our 2018 argument on Russia. I think we should focus it on pocketbook issues like healthcare. When I walked across the state, very few people were talking to me about Russia, other than the political activists who came out to the town halls. Most people were furious about the health care bill, were furious that Trump wasn't delivering on his promises to make their lives better economically. I think that's where our focus needs to be.
So the government faces yet another shutdown. Can you explain that to us?
So the government shuts down when you get to the end of the fiscal year and you don't have a budget. There's then no authorization to write checks to, you know, employees and to national parks and all non-entitlement expenses. That means non-Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid expenses of the federal government. The Republicans control everything. They control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. So if we were to shut down, it's clearly all on them. But they've got these big divisions internally. There are some Republicans that want to slash domestic spending. There are others that want to slash tax rates. There are others that are more responsible and want to make sure that whether the government stays open and operating. We'll see. They are a pretty dysfunctional lot these days, and it'll really be up to them to try to avoid this shutdown. We will certainly work with them if they reach out to us, but they've shown, the Republicans in control of the Senate and the House have shown no signs, at least in the first 7 months of the year, that they want to get through any of these tough spots by working with Democrats. They generally just want to do it themselves.
Well, they'll claim you're the problem, that the Democrats are the problem. They've done that in the past, even if there's nothing to it. They'll claim that. Some people will believe them, right?
Well, but people believed them in the past because there was at least one portion of the federal government that was controlled by a Democrat or by Democrats. So, you know, sometimes we controlled the Senate. For the last 8 years, we did control the presidency. Democrats control nothing right now. We don't control the Senate. We don't control the House. We don't control the White House. That doesn't mean that we don't want to be part of these dialogues. We begged for months and months for them to let us into these healthcare negotiations. But I don't think the American public is so, you know, naive to think that Democrats, who are in the minority in everything, would be the party to blame if something as bad as a shutdown happened. I hope it doesn't, but it'll largely be a question that Republicans will have to answer.
Chris Murphy, did you ever think you would see a time when, you know, Nazis would show up at rallies and say, this is our free speech, and, you know, wearing swastikas and stuff like that? I mean, does it make your hair stand on end?
Yeah, it's chilling. That being said, I guess I never thought that racism went away. I mean, I just thought it went underground. It wasn't something you brought up in polite company. And for whatever reason, people now think that they have license to say things and act in ways that they didn't think they could get away with for a very long time. And the problem is going to get worse, not better, because we have a president who refuses to condemn in very clear and simple terms these white supremacists and neo-Nazis. I'm sorry, there were not any fine people that were part of that white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. That is just not true. But because the president insists on trying to excuse these fringe racist groups, they are going to feel in other places around the country like they can remove the cap on their speech and start to be part of a public dialogue. And that is, yeah, very, very scary, very, very chilling for me and a lot of people I represent.
We're hearing from an awful lot of people whose fathers, grandfathers, uncles, and others served in the military and died fighting the Nazis. And now this?
Well, and what makes it even worse is that if you watch pictures of the Charlottesville protest, you would have thought that the U.S. military was there. They weren't. It was racists dressed up to masquerade as the U.S. military, carrying assault weapons, wearing camouflage, disgracing the United States military by attempting to fool people into believing that these neo-Nazi militias were actually the U.S. military there to provide stability and peace. So it's even worse than that. It's not just that this country lost hundreds of thousands fighting the Nazis. It's that now those very people are trying to masquerade as legitimate military. That boils people's blood.
And it was, we have to go, but it was a very inspiring thing to see that the military leaders of all the services rejected what Trump had said and said there was no place for bigotry, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's good to know that people in our government, other than the President of the United States, can muster the words to unconditionally condemn racism. But the fact that anybody gets points today for speaking out against neo-Nazis just tells you where we are in our country's moral arc. This is a moment of test. The president's failing it, but the rest of us don't have to fall victim. We have to speak truth to power, more important now than ever before.
United States Senator Chris Murphy. Chris, thank you so much for being with us, and I hope that when the time comes around at the Democratic Convention, and they say, we want you to be our presidential candidate, that you'll remember that I predicted this all along.
In that very unlikely circumstance, I will remember and credit you.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.